Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 32 of True Believers. Last week, we watched 2004's iconic Catwoman movie, and this week we read the 2006 series Daughters of the Dragon by Justin Gray, Jimmy Palmiotti, I hope I said that right, and Carrie Evans.
Bounty Hunters Misty Knight and Colleen Wing star in this sexy action thriller. When four less than super villains, Whirlwind, 8-Ball, Humbug, and Freezer Burn, Skip Bale and team up to rob the penthouse apartment of a wealthy publisher, they get more than they bargained for. Misty Knight and Colleen Wing are on the case. Unfortunately, so are a host of villains and assassins looking to recover what was stolen. Andrew, how'd you feel about this series?
What's the nice way to say I didn't like it?
Because that wasn't my thing. You know what's funny? I like the story, but this is one of those things where I'm like, men who are too horny probably should not draw. They shouldn't make 100%. Comics.
I liked the idea. I just hated everything that went into it.
There was actually, you know, I didn't even hate all the art because some of it was fun. Like, I think some things should be sexy and fun. But it's like, I don't want to see you scaling a building and see the outline of your nipples.
Things can, like, this could be fun and like corny and whatever. You could do over the top sexualized things, but this was like intentionally just horny and not in a good way. I saw so many ass cracks and nipples. Even Iron Fist was sexualized. I was like, this isn't it.
We could argue that that was a bit feminist. I can't even conjure up my usual bullshit for that. It was too horny. I was so upset. Can this be a short episode, actually? Because I really don't have a lot to say about this. The plot was fun, though. Like, I really was upset after reading this. And I've read this before, but I kind of forgot what the whole thing was, that they didn't do I hate that the MCU kept becoming a thing, because the Marvel Netflix universe, they were supposed to have a Daughters of the Dragon, and Misty and that Colleen, they would have ate this down. Like, this whole storyline, the fact that Misty said, they were like, so the fact that lady at the end was like, so you don't know any kung fu, you don't know this, you know this, why do you guys call yourself the Daughters of the Dragon? Misty said, because it sounds cool.
And you can tell that this is written by two white men specifically because of how, or not two white men, but like a white man, just because of how Misty was the entire time, you know, like it was
like Luke Cage from like the 70s, Sweet Christmas.
Yeah,
the one realistic thing that she said. the one thing that she said that wasn't like, I mean, most of the lines were normal, to be fair. But it's like, anytime something would happen, you could tell they were like sprinkling some ethnic on there. But like, the best one was, I posted it on Twitter, I think, where her and Danny like knock a hole in the wall and like, boom. And she's like, girl, it's about to be all types of kung fu up in here. And I was like,
she kept having to pick for her hair, which I was like, okay, at least you understand how that works.
And the hair wasn't horrible, which, you know, that's one of my biggest concerns. And like, what I really like is that it's obvious that she's got some braids in the front, and the rest of the part that's blowing in the wind is just like the width of her greater afro. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that she obviously has a style, and I like that it's practical because the braids in the front keep it out of her face. I like that some thought went into this. Unfortunately, they were too horny.
Yeah, I agree. I did like the part about, some of it was right, like the pick in the hair and the hair in the wind, you know, like you said, but it was just so horny. It's like everywhere they went, Colleen was flirting with somebody or somebody was commenting on her looks.
Colleen was going to show that ass crack now.
She was. It was so bad, though. Like, even, remember when she like unzipped her jacket to show her tits to the guy that she was sparring with? Like, come on.
Oh, and the guy, I don't even forgot who the man was, because it was like, oh, I know that guy. That won't be in a note, so don't look for it, because I'm not looking it back up.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was just so much, you know?
I actually like Humbug. I don't know why. I think he's a gross little creep, but
yeah,
he's so funny.
Humbug was my least favorite because, listen, if your whole power is to, like, throw cockroaches and shit, like, don't invite me to this party. Like,
bitch, how dare you enter my apartment? Like a Euphoria girl. Bitch, you had better be joking, because I saw that roach crawl across something in Misty's apartment. And when she walked out, he was there. I would have been like, I'm whooping your ass, man. You're getting your ass whooped.
Straight up. When that roach, like, crawled across his shoulder at one point, I was like, no, don't come anywhere near me. You win.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
You can't think of any live action Disney movie that it reminds you of?
Any live action Disney movie?
It's a musical.
Are you?
Enchanted. Oh,
Enchanted. What happened in Bugs Enchanted with this?
Apartment. When the freaking bugs and the rats and the birds help her clean up.
Oh, yeah. When she's trying to do the... Yeah.
Okay, listen, that was so unrealistic because they're New Yorkers. I know he would have cussed her out.
Listen, but remember when they were all in the bar together, like Whirlwind 8-Ball, Humbug, and Freezer Burn? And then he was like, this specific fly can lay eggs in your cut and these larvae will eat you on the inside out, blah, blah, blah. It was like, don't ever come near me with this guy because I'm not.
Go away. No. And we're not doing a job together ever again. I mean, they don't have anything to worry about. So basically, they try and rob this lady's apartment. They pull off the robbery. They steal a flash drive. And they all start coming up dead. When I tell you all types of assassins was killing them. And Misty and Colleen, here's the thing. They don't give a damn. What I like about them is that I don't want to say they're amoral because they're not. But they care a lot more about getting paid sometimes than they do about the law.
I mean, same.
Misty used to be a cop and she's like, police suck. And Colleen is a whole ass ninja. So she's like, and I don't give a damn.
Yeah,
they are bounty hunters. Like, they're just two crazy women who work well together.
Two really powerful women, too. Because, you know, Misty got her arm blown off. So she got a new arm and it's robot and does all this cool stuff.
The fact that this heifer pulled her arm off, I was like, so you chosen to get your ass beat. Because I was like, you getting it twice as hard next time she see you. You done pulled my arm off. You done pulled my arm off.
Yeah, the rich penthouse lady just shows up. Also, she was way too sexualized, but that's a whole different thing.
And she was like, this is for fashion. And she had on this, like, whole outfit. It was, like, with a mask. And she had swords and stuff. She said, this isn't a disguise. It's for fashion. And it was, like, the ugliest shit it was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Like, she looked like a matador. Well,
it was, like, 2006. Because, you know, when, like, Colleen and Misty go to her office to talk to her or whatever. And she's wearing, like, a tie around her neck. Very Avril Lavigne style.
It was giving that.
Yeah, it matched but it was the funny, decade.
The whole other time, like every other time they showed this woman, she was dressed down. That outfit was like when you see Emma Frost. Oh my God, my brain blank. You know how Emma Frost, like how they will put her in the tackiest, most sexist, like the cheap. It's not even the fact that Emma Frost wears sexy outfits. It's the fact that a lot of times they look cheap. And like, yeah. I'm like, a queen like Emma, who pretends to be British and is really from Boston. Right. Our social climbing queen would never wear something so tacky and cheap. So I'm like, this is unrealistic. How dare they do this to her? Like, this woman, Ricadonna or whatever her name was, you expected me to believe that this, like, they're telling me this woman has Oprah money. She's got zillions of dollars in the bank.
Like, I kept saying it.
Like, you expected me to believe this woman has money, and this is her supervillain outfit? It's just not realistic.
But the first outfit she wore, like in the first or second issue, whatever it was, when she was at the party, that one was it. Like,
no, all of her outfits were fire except for that one. And she said that she specifically said, this isn't a disguise. It's about fashion. And I was like, to who? Because she looked like I said matador. I said the wrong thing earlier. I meant a luchador. She looks like she was wearing lingerie and she was dressed up like somebody who does mass wrestling.
It was giving like Megan Fox on the red carpet, but ugly.
No, Megan always Avengers wears. At the Hellfire Gala. Yes. I didn't mean to drag them so hard.
But yeah, you know, Megan always wears those outfits that are really stringy and you can see everything.
It's because Megan Fox was the high girl of the 2000s. Like, well, not the high girl, not the only high girl, but you know she what I'm still saying? Is. I'm not saying she's not a high girl, but I'm saying like that was her high girl era. It was the 2000s. She's gonna give what that was supposed to have gave. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
She's like, why modernize? Because this is what the people like. And it is what the people like. Megan, keep going. Yeah. All Megans. Except for, who's the Megan that we don't like?
Dude, I have no idea. I'm not doing great on this. Normally I have I can't think of whatever you're thinking.
No, she's like this entitled politician's daughter, and she always goes on TV and like says the dumbest things, and then she trends every week because she's on a talk show. Anyway, that lady's an idiot. But it's like, we got Megan Fox, who's unfortunately engaged to MGK. That's weird. And then we got Megan Thee Stallion, and then there's Megan what's her name, and she's annoying.
I don't know, but this story, it was like, I like the idea. Like I said, it was a good idea, and it started off kind of fun when they were chasing Rhino, and then she crashes Misty's car. Colleen crashes Misty's car.
And she did it again. I was like, no.
I thought that was a dumb way to end it. Chasing Rhino again, she gets back in the car. I was like, okay.
The fact that, like, this is one of those things that actually, like, this whole storyline, except for all of the weird horniness, it really would have been great for TV, the whole storyline, because it's the good 6 issues, they probably could have made, like, 12 or 13 episodes.
Yeah.
They really could have got every single part, and especially, like, ending with the car chase. Like, that would have been great for TV. For comic, it was funny, but I was like, really?
It was too much at that point because there was too much just what's the right way to say bad? Like, so there's just a lot of bad things in this story that I didn't like.
There were so many nipples. There were so many nipples.
I know.
Like, they're wearing these leather suits and like they ain't got no kind of nipple pasty. They ain't got no bra tape. How are you wearing a leather cat suit like in New York with the zipper down? Like, how are your breasts almost coming out?
Not even that.
In New York.
It's every single woman in this. Like, every single woman had, like, the same exact nipples.
No, know? The only one who didn't was Freezer Burns' baby mama. And then we saw her get brutally murdered. Well,
yeah.
Oh, man. And this Donna lady, we undersold what she was doing because she had she had the money in this assassination game. Razor Fist, like, cut this woman up. He cut up Freezer Burns, beat the hell out of him, and was going to cut the baby up.
Yeah, okay, because they stole that. Thing
they
from
stole a flash drive from
a flash
her.
Drive, yeah.
And she called every assassin ever.
I know, everything. I think she just kind of like put out a hit on the black assassin market, you know?
She was like, and she had cameras. That was the thing. They did all this stupid stuff and didn't even check to see if this woman had cameras.
Well, no, he did, but he just didn't check the teddy bear.
Like, oh, yeah, she had a nanny cam.
Yeah, she just had a cam in this teddy bear. But remember, he sent all the roaches in her house first to, like, cut
the wires.
The
way I would have killed you just for that. How is Humbug the only one that lived? Because he would have been the one I'm having them kill first.
That's what I'm saying.
Find him. Because I need to
all
burn
the roaches in my house.
Here.
Are you kidding?
I got to burn everything in my crib. He got to go. He got to go.
Yeah.
He's first. Because Freezer, like, it's like you could tell their primary objective was retaining the flash drive and getting everything back, because my primary objective would I find him, whoever that is, kill him. He gotta go. He finna die.
Yeah, I'd have to leave my house because millions of roaches up in my $1 million penthouse. That's just not it.
Oh,
for me.
Oh my god, you know that how I told you that there's like a black version of Chuck Tingle where somebody makes like those erotica books with the insane titles, Quan Mills.
Yes.
So it alongside Pregnant by my gay stepdaddy and all the other stuff. There is a duology called This Whole Got Roaches in Her Crib.
Oh my god, yeah, you told me about this. Yeah.
I was like, not this. I think I might have tweeted it. Not This Whole Got Roaches in Her Crib Part 2. Actually, I really think maybe instead of a podcast about comic books, maybe we should have had a bad erotica book club. Like, if I didn't hate reading, like, I get mad when people kiss on TV. And I do read a lot of romance novels, but like when it gets to those parts, I'd be like, skip, because I'm not trying to feed into your fetishes. You're not going to have me reading your book pornos.
That's our spinoff, but, reading book pornos.
That would have been a good podcast because Chuck Tingle had a podcast called Pounded in the Butt by My Own Podcast, where I think people came on to like read the books or something. But the way I feel like that's something that could make money. And I feel like one of our mutuals on Twitter is like a podcast. They review pornos, I guess.
Yeah, shout out to the Porn Stash community.
Shout out to the Porn Stash Arenos.
Yeah, it's called the Porn Stash Podcast. They're great, though. They're funny.
I know the people who like My Favorite Murder or whatever are called Murderinos. Maybe we need to come up with a community name. True Believer sounds weird. We'll just call our fans the Runaways.
Bitch, yes. Okay.
I said that just to make you happy, and you were like, I don't even care
if you are joking. I'm gonna capitalize off that.
You're gonna be like, hey, runaways. Anyway, episode 32 drops today. I don't know. You know, this is dumb, but if we ever wanted to collaborate with the Porn Stash podcast, you remember that guy a couple years ago who was making those porn parodies of like the Marvel movies? I can't think of his name. No, but remember he had the high production value. Everybody was like, why does this look better than anything Marvel?
Like the X-Men movies?
Why is this so much better? Like, that would be so funny. Unfortunately, I'm not watching pornography or going on a podcast called the Porn Stash podcast. But you know what? Andrew will go.
I've been thinking about that every time they like reply to us or something. I'm always like, yeah, you know what? Remember those really shitty X-Men borns? They might be good. I don't see them.
I don't do that. Personally, if somebody told me they watched that, I would have to make fun of them. But like in a nice way, like when I make fun of Tom for breathing.
Anyways, back to this, what we're supposed to be talking about.
I mean, there's
porn.
Nothing else to say. Like at this point, we're just having fun because we pretty much described the entire plot. There's nothing really noteworthy except the horniness. The plot actually was good. Like when they just the fact
oh, of
them
you know what?
Going into investigating this.
I want to go back to like your idea of a TV show. This would be a really good like mystery show or something. If they don't tell
the
you
Daughters
who Rickadonna is.
Because they have good story. Like, yeah, if we didn't know that this hoe was the villain, like
that would be
if
such
somebody
a good mystery.
If they didn't even announce that it was her house, that would be ace. Cause if you just see somebody checking the nanny cam and then you see this woman in the background the whole series, that's mm-hmm. my favorite thing people do. Like when people be on TV or they'll be like a magazine, Rickadonna. You know,
yeah, but if they don't tell us she's the villain and you spend this whole time like, okay, what do they even steal? What's important, you know? And then,
yeah,
oh, see, this would be such a good mystery. Look at us. We should, okay, shout out to anyone listening. If you want us to write this show, we'll do it. That's it.
We already wrote a pilot for an X-Men show, a slice of life, Genosha show years ago. We tried to send it to Fox, and then, yeah, I wonder whatever happened to that because that was some good work we did. We had a show pitch ready to go. We sent it in to Fox. They didn't mail us back.
Oh, back to like the mystery idea. I think it'd be a great idea. It's just somebody needs to pick it up. And like I said, it could be us. Someone pick us up.
Exactly. And like I said,
we're good writers. I don't even know.
I don't give away game for free. I want to be, what was his name? Otis? That could be me. I could be Otessa.
Oh, okay. We didn't even mention their little secretary.
They have some kind of deal with the staffing department. So they keep getting sent these secretaries. And Colleen is like, why do they keep sending us these people? Because they always quit and it always goes horribly. And Misty is like, we keep paying them. So they keep sending people. And they sent a guy who was a mutant and he's literally invulnerable. And
he's like 4'11". So funny. And he's like this little nerdy. He's a little nerdy gay thing, right? Like, he's definitely a homo.
No, he definitely was. He's a Rhino to a gay club. Like, Rhino came.
It was Orcus. Was
that not Rhino? It was. You're right. Because
I don't even know who
John
Orcus
Bell.
Is, but you know, he was like this giant Atlantean type of thing. I don't think he was Atlantean.
Like Orca.
I don't know.
I called him a water rhino. He's one of those villains whose name I never bothered to retain, but I knew who he was. I was like, oh, Rhino 3.
I had never seen him before.
Yeah. I've read this comic before, so I knew who he was from that.
Oh, well, but, yeah, he took him to a gay club, which was funny as hell. And then I was like, that's what I texted
you. What's
funny
is he comes in and he like busts up there. He's like, where are Nightwing? And he just starts losing his mind, busting up the whole place. And he's trying to beat the mess out of Otis. And Otis is like, okay.
Yeah, because he can't feel pain either. So it's just like, I can't die. I can't feel pain. It is what it is. It was kind of giving like.
He's so nonchalant.
Yeah, it was giving like SpongeBob whenever he was against the flounder.
The Yeah. Like, do you want me to feel pain?
That's exactly what it was, because he just kept beating the shit out of him. And Otis is sitting
I really
there like,
hope he didn't lose his powers during M Day, because he got a slick mouth. And if he did, I know he did. He fighting for his life to get reborn on Krakoa.
Ooh, you're right. Well, he wasn't even a real mutant. He was in an AIM explosion.
Oh, he was? Oh, then he's fine. Good for him.
Yeah, so he's fine. He's one of those mutants that aren't real mutants. He's fine.
The fact that he said they had an auction to finally sell this flash drive after Rickadonna starts acting up. And so he sat at the front. He's like at the valet and this guy is like, well, I don't trust you. So he shoots him and he's like, yeah, I'm a mutant. I'm down for the cause. I'm an evil mutant. And I was like, sir.
He really tried to be like gang gang.
And then when he came back, he started talking jive. And Misty was like, if you can shut the hell up.
That was so bad. I was sitting there like, uh-uh, this isn't it. And that's when Misty said like the hard T word, you know, and I was like, you could tell this was written by one straight white man.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot about that. I was like, bam.
She hit the hard T and I was like, I can't deal with this story anymore.
It was like, have you ever read something and then all of a sudden they just bust out with a slur out of nowhere? That was, we did. We both mm-hmm. read it. We yep. were like,
yeah.
Because there was no lead into this. I was like,
man. There was literally no reason for it. She just came out there and was like, let me just throw this in there. And that's not Misty Knight. You know, she's not that kind of person. So
she
you
was
know.
Like, let me throw out a little slurs for just for seasoning. You know, I'm spice things up. Right. And I was like, she said, the girls that get it, get it. And the girls that don't, no. And I was the girls that didn't get it. Because I was like, same. Man.
No, that wasn't it. I was like,
I was taking it back. What are you, Dave Chappelle?
If they, shut the fuck up. No, this like what's a good way to say it?
I threw your ass off your rhythm, I could tell.
I was trying to think of a nice way to not be offensive, but the story is just it was a good plot. The Everything story in itself it was just
is
not good, it.
But the art is too horny. Like the art's not even the thing is the art's not even bad. It's just too horny. Like the story's good enough that by itself it would be fine, but coupled with the horny art, it like takes away from the story. Because even when they're investigating, even when they're doing mm-hmm. smart things, even when they're being the daughters of the dragon, period, and you can see it. You can see the sisterhood. You can see the heroism. You can see it. Then it's like. Yeah. Horny.
And then you see a nipple too, and it's like, all right, there it goes out the window.
Also,
and if we take out like the low key racism and the homophobia, this would be good. It's just y'all missed the mark. And the random
transphobia. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't recommend this to anybody unless it was somebody who was going to
modernize it, make it better.
Not even modernize or make it better. I think that whoever made the show Rebel for BET, which was like the best show ever and it got canceled, that Rebel was basically like a Misty Knight show, but on BET, and Method Man was in it. Method Man was her husband. Oh my God, mm-hmm. Method Man was so fine for no reason. I'm sitting up looking like, oh my God. Every week, it was like he was put there to torment us. His wife is a selfish woman, keeping that man all to herself. That I went on a random tangent, but anyway. So basically, it was like she rebels like a detective. Her brother gets killed, and she used to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. Until her brother gets killed. I think her partner killed her brother at that, or like somebody in the department. And then she spends the whole show like investigating other things. And I was like, and that was right after Misty Knight appeared on the Luke Cage show. And I was like, BET saw this and they was like, you know what? We're taking it back. Taking it back. I respect that.
Yeah, I respect that too.
I love blatant thievery because once I found out that just Marvel and DC used to go back and forth just stealing ideas from
each
other. It's
funny as fuck, right?
Like, who is it that, what superhero group is the Doom Patrol? Like, they stole the Doom Patrol idea and made, wasn't it like the Fantastic Four?
No, that was Fantastic Four is a different one, I think. Fantastic Four came out because of DC's the Trinity. What are they called? The Justice League.
Oh.
Because Marvel was like, teams are really popular and they were like, well, we got to make a team now. So they made Fantastic Four. That's basically what happened.
What I think is so funny about the MCU is that Spider-Man has all these connections. MCU Spider-Man has all these connections to people who he canonically does not like. It's so funny. Like...
I mean,
I'm like, he looks up to Iron Man. I promise if Iron Man didn't have money, Peter would probably be calling him a capitalist pig every 2 weeks. It's like if he wasn't getting an Avengers check, which he wouldn't, he'd be like, nope. And you know, another thing, I'm anti Tony Stark.
Listen, I would do the same thing. I'm not even going to say anything. If I was getting that Avengers check, it is what it is. I love Tony Stark. I love.
Child, the way that I love Stark Industries, what do you, why would you even go into this man's past and call him the Merchant of Death? Because hasn't he atoned? The way I would, right. I'd be singing a whole different tune. Because I'm very fake.
We're going to start like the Tony Stark fan club. You know what I mean? Once you give me that check, it is what it is.
You put that check in my hand, I attack. And also exactly. The fact that Peter wasn't even getting, none of the Avengers was getting paid to be Avengers. I ain't doing this stuff for fun. Like I found out from Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They said that in the first, like the first, second episode when he went to the bank. And he was like, they were like, so you didn't draw a salary? You didn't have any, you don't have any credit for the last 5 years? And he was like, I got blipped. Like what? See, if
do they at I least get like a Avenger nice penthouse? Because, you know, they should. Tony has plenty of penthouses. If I got to live in one of those houses for free, I would totally
not even Tony. Like, I'm protecting the world. I need to be drawing a salary from somebody. Like, I am not working for free. And, you know, particularly if I'm Captain America, I'm not going to be Captain America and be broke. The way I'd have sold that vibranium shit.
That's funny as fuck. He's been alive for like a hundred something years and then he has no money for it. I mean, I know he was frozen, but still. Like... But
Steve at least was a government employee. The rest of them Avengers, who knows how they was. Like, because Steve worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. He worked for the army before that. Like, Steve has money. The rest of them, they broke.
Yeah, what about like Carol Danvers? Do you think she gets like benefits from the government? Well, she has to come back every now and then. Do you think they like kept her like government abilities or whatever up, you know?
Her 401k and stuff.
Yeah, do you think she got that so she can come retire when she wants?
I wonder if she's considered like missing in action because people know where she is. I don't know. Nick Fury probably fixed it, hopefully.
I don't know. How much do you think, what's his little sidekick's name? I can't think of her name.
Who's sidekick?
Nick Fury's.
Oh, Hill? Yeah. Hill's getting a check. She works.
How much do you think she gets paid?
A lot. Because he'll be with all the bullshit. So I would have to get paid for that.
The way that she's like always down for anything, she wants to kill people. You know what I mean? I feel like she gets paid a lot.
Okay, no. You can't just say she wants to kill people.
She does. That bitch is always trying to start a war. Don't let her in charge ever. She's missing the whatever Nick Fury has, she's missing it.
I think anyway. So that's all for this week's episode of True Believers. Daughters is a Dragon. It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. It was good idea, bad execution. That's all I really got for it. But thank you all for your support, and we will see you next week when we get into our spoiler-filled review of review of Matt Reeves' The Batman.
We're available on all major streaming platforms, and if you really like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing it with your friends. We really appreciate it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, don't. Jokes aside, you can find us on DMs on social media. Email us, leave us a voicemail at 650-761-2629 or join our Discord and we might consider checking it.
Okay, bye everybody.
Bye.